Welcome in. It's time for Today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa edition. I'm Ira C. Smith. We have some very special guests today, so settle back. Hey, relax, and let's enjoy this Napa Valley. First of all, before I introduce the first guest, let me tell you about a seminar that's presented by your Napa Chamber of Commerce. It's going to be on Wednesday, January the 15th at the Hampton Inn and Suites. And it is regarding labor law. So all of you folks in business, as you probably know, rules seem to change rapidly each year. Well, this seminar will cover the new laws that take effect in this new year, talk about important court decisions, talk about legal developments and issues that will be affecting us here in the Napa area. It will be presented by Richard Rybicki. He's an employment attorney. So contact your Napa Chamber of Commerce if you'd like to be part of that seminar on January 15th. Also, the annual meeting is coming up later this month, January the 31st. It's going to be the 131st annual meeting and awards luncheon by the Chamber of Commerce. Wow, that goes back quite a way. But I understand that they're either sold out or nearly sold out. So if you want to attend that, may already be too late. If not, you can get in on just some of the final tickets that are available for that event. All right, get ready. As now we go into our first guest, and it's a pleasure for us to welcome back to KVON a gal with many hats. Heather Buck is her name, and she is so talented, and she's extending her talents this time with Lucky Penny to directing that new play coming out, new musical, Xanadu Junior. So, Heather, first of all, thanks for coming in.
Oh, well, thanks for having me back in your beautiful new space.
Yeah, first time in here for you?
It's my first time. It's quite a spot.
Well, let's before we talk about the directing the Xanadu Junior, mm-hmm. let's get some of your background. When did you get interested in theater?
Oh my gosh, I don't think there was a time I wasn't interested in theater. My parents listened to musical theater when I was a tiny child, and just from then on, I was really into it. I think I did my first show when I was maybe 7 or 8, and literally there has not been a time since.
Where did you grow up in? What area?
I grew up in Santa Rosa.
Okay, well, nearby here.
Yeah, just right over that way.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a bit about going into college, and if you had a chance to do some of your acting or directing or getting some background there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I went to Southern Oregon University, which is the college in Ashland, Oregon, where the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is, which is the largest Shakespeare festival in the country. And I went there for theater. I have a degree in theater, an emphasis in performance, and a minor in Shakespeare studies. And so I was there, and we worked with directors and actors and faculty from the Shakespeare Festival. It was a really, really close partnership, so I got a lot of enrichment through them. And then after I graduated college, I moved to London and lived in the center of London and worked on Shaftesbury Avenue, which is the Broadway of London. I actually worked front of house, which was ushering and bartending and doing all that kind of stuff, but was still very smack dab in the center of theater.
You mentioned London, and that they had a play that has been continuing for over 50 years called Mousetrap there.
Yes.
And you had a chance to be part of Mousetrap back here in this country.
I did. Last year, oh, it's crazy to say last year already, but last September and October, it was my first show back after having my second baby, and I did the Mousetrap at Ross Valley Players and played the lead character of Molly. And it was so much fun. So the show, Mousetrap, has been running in London continuously for 67 years now. It's the longest running play ever. And the fun thing about it is Agatha Christie didn't want a movie made of it until the play closed. because she didn't want the end revealed. She didn't want the, you know, the twist revealed. Right. And because it has been continuously playing now since it opened, there has been no movie made of it.
That is amazing. And it's typical as far as Agatha Christie, as far as making you think, who has done this?
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps you guessing the whole time. It's kind of a surprise.
It does. We did a poll, an unofficial poll at the end of every show that we performed, and asked many audience members who done it. And there was not a single character that was overwhelmingly the murderer.
Yeah.
Everybody was suspected.
Well, we see that you have quite a background in theater. So what about directing? Have you done much in that aspect?
You know, I have to admit, I have not. This is a new frontier for me in theater. I directed two of When Lucky Penny was doing their 8x10 short play mm-hmm. festival. I directed two of those. And after that, Taylor, the artistic director of Lucky Penny, was like, you have to direct in this space. And I was like, but I haven't really directed very much. I'm scared of doing that. And she's like, nope, you're going to do it. And so she had wanted me to direct last season, but then I ended up being very, very pregnant and with a tiny baby, so that didn't work out. And then she booked me for this season, and I'm actually directing the next show that's coming up at Lucky Penny, Five Course Love. And then...
Directing back to back?
I am, which is just crazy. In fact, after this, I'm going and I'm going to go... put myself with my headphones on and do work completely on that next one. But then it came up that Xanadu was part of the season, and I was like, well, that just sounds like so much fun. Uh-huh. And I was like, can I do that one too? And she was like, oh gosh, yes, please.
Now this is the junior, so you're working with some youngsters here.
Yes, the kids are anywhere from 8 to 17. We have a lot kind of smack dab in the middle of that, kind of 12, 13, 14. Our lead, Emma Sutherland, is on the older end. She's playing Kira. She's 17. We have one other girl who's 17, and then we've got some really little ones too. So it's been a super fun experience to kind of understand how to explain acting and theater things to a whole range of ages.
This is a musical. What about the voice ranges of your kids?
You know, it's a fantastic, our kids are so talented. We have, you know, the core of kids who have been in a large amount of our shows who come back again and again and again. Emma's been in a ton. She was in Bonnie and Clyde with me. Our male lead, Sonny, Joey De Natale, has been in a bunch of Lucky Penny stuff. He was in Annie. And then the girls who play the muses, I think one of them is a new one, but everyone else are people that I know. And they're just so fantastically talented. I mean, Emma can sing like crazy. And all of these kids are super invested and there to really work hard. So it's been a joy to hear them.
What is the premise of Xanadu?
Well, it is based on the amazing Olivia Newton-John movie from the very early 80s, which I watched a little bit of and was like, I can't do this. It's famously kind of terrible. But the show is absolutely wonderful because it takes the most fun parts of the movie and then kind of gently pokes fun at the rest of it. There's a lot of kind of tongue-in-cheek stuff that that really works. But anyway, the premise, it takes place in 1980, Venice Beach, California. And there's a young artist who is working to further his career. And he draws a mural of the muses from Greek mythology on the pavement, or depending on what your production is, the wall, whatever. Those muses of inspiration then magically come out of that mural, and it is the lead muse, Kira. It is her task to inspire this young artist and to inspire him to great works. She doesn't know that it's the 1980s, not the 1780s. And she doesn't know that it's Venice Beach, California, not Venice, Italy. So she's getting into this thinking that it's going to be a work of great art. And she and when she finally realizes that what it really is, she's ready to take on the charge. Then the second subplot is that she has, there are 9 muses in Greek mythology, and each one has a specific task, a specific type of the arts that it's supposed to inspire. And the one of her sisters has decided that she really doesn't like that Kira is the leader of the muses. So she decides that she's going to cast a spell on Kira to make her fall in love with this artist that she's supposed to inspire. Now, one of the big artists or big muse rules is that you don't fall in love with a human. So she wants to curse her sister. And so it's this, and so then they end up falling in love. And is it the curse or is it them actually falling in love? And so it progresses over the course of her, Kira, inspiring this young artist, and then this subplot of the curse and their love.
Well, let's find out a little bit about your thoughts as far as directing and when you go into the blocking. Is that something with the kids that you do early on, or do you ask them to learn their parts first, or how do you perceive that?
So what we did with this show is our first week of rehearsal, the kids learned all of their music, and then we worked on all the choreography. There's 15 songs, and each one is choreographed to a certain degree. I mean, there's several big dance numbers, and then there's several numbers that I musically staged, which isn't like technical dance, but it all is choreographed. So we had a kind of a wacky rehearsal process in that we started in December. We had 2 weeks at the beginning of December. Then we took 2 weeks off for the holidays, and now we've come back for 2 weeks, and then we open. Yeah, it's a bit crazy. So in those first 2 weeks in December, we really focused on learning the material, the songs and the choreo, and then came back in the next week and did all of the blocking so that when the kids left for break, they could just drill it into their heads. Now we've come back and we are starting to run the show and clean things up and work on acting beats.
Wow. Well, you open January the 17th and
we
run
do.
For just 2 weekends.
So two weekends,
so
yes.
Not as long a run as sometimes.
As usual, and it's selling like crazy. Our first Sunday is already sold out. I think our opening night has 5 tickets left, so it's really flying off the shelves.
Mm-hmm. That's Lucky Penny production, and Heather, you're on the board of directors of Lucky Penny, so you can maybe give us an idea about this Napa Academy of Performing Arts that is starting up.
So this is a really exciting thing that Lucky Penny is diving into. We've wanted to do an educational program for a long time, but we didn't have the right person to run it. You know, Taylor and Barry have so much on their plates with it. They couldn't add another thing. I know they're incredible. It's mind blowing. But we have this wonderful actor. Her name is Karen Pinamaki. And I actually did theater with her in Santa Rosa. I've done, oh my gosh, I don't know, 10 shows with her, something like that. And as I worked with her, I was like, you gotta come over to Lucky Penny. You're gonna have so much fun, and we want you so badly. And so finally, she came over and auditioned, and we started using her in shows because she's incredible. She was in 9 to 5. She played Fräulein Schneider in Cabaret. She's just incredible and a wonderful human. And she came to Taylor and Barry last year. Now, she also has a degree in theater management.
Quite a character actress.
Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah.
And so she also has this background in teaching and running a theater. And so she came to Taylor and Barry with a full plan on how to do this Performing Arts Academy. And Taylor and Barry were like, yes, please. And so she has been working since she approached them to get this off the ground. And so we are starting classes next week. Mm-hmm. And so Karen is the program director. And then Scotty Woodard, who has done a lot of work at Lucky Penny, he was my husband in Bonnie and Clyde, and he was in Forever Plaid, Scrooge in Love. He's just a fantastic actor. He also has background in children's theater and teaching theater to children. So he is the artistic director of the program. And so we have... we're rolling out the program this month.
Yeah.
We have classes starting next week.
All right.
I signed my
the week of January the 13th.
Correct. I signed my own little 5-year-old up for the kids theater class that's happening on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm. And you know, this is not just for kids either.
No, sorry. There are adult classes. There's improv classes. There's adult acting. There's adult musical theater. It's, you know, it covers all the bases. There's really something for everyone. And we're adding teaching artists, and they're really exciting people. And we're doing, the sign up is through the Napa Parks and Rec. So you can go onto the City of Napa website and then the Parks and Rec and find it all under enrichment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really good schedule of classes that will be really interesting.
Good. We're going to have the Parks and Recs coming on here a little bit later on this program. But right now we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with Heather Buck. All right. Welcome back in to Today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa edition. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we're privileged today to have Heather Buck with us, representing Lucky Penny, and she's talking about the Napa Academy of Performing Arts, and this is something that you can sign up right away for.
Oh, yeah, the classes are open, and enrollment is there. It's time. We're ready to bring people in and teach them some really fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting close to season number 12. Can you believe it, Lucky Penny?
Oh, my gosh. It's mind-blowing. I feel like we were just announcing the season that's going on right now. It's just like, how does time go this fast?
Yeah, well, I don't know how you do it with the two little ones and all. You really love the theater, and that's obvious, by the way, that you get in there and help out in so many ways. I know I hear Barry mention just such nice things about you and your talents, as well as so many. He has so many talented people working with Lucky Penny.
Oh my gosh, the family that has been created at Lucky Penny is just unbelievable. I am so fortunate to be a part of it. I couldn't even begin to explain how wonderful everybody is.
Yeah. Well, talking about season 12, there will be an announcement party coming up at the end of this month. In fact, it's Friday, January the 31st. Don't want to get into February yet.
Not quite yet.
are you familiar with what's going to take place at that?
I am. We are going to do, there's a whole program of kind of our Lucky Penny favorite actors and our associate artists. So we're going to do highlights of this current season, stuff from 9 to 5 and... Miracle on 34th Street. I have one of my kids from Xanadu singing. and then we will be doing the season announcement of the 2020-2021 season. There'll be songs from each show that's been chosen. And then there's going to be door prizes. And, of course, the bar is going to be open. So it's going to be a really fun party.
Did you need a ticket to get in?
So we do. It is a ticketed event. However, it is free. That being said, all of the tickets have been snapped up already. However, don't be discouraged. If you want to come down to the theater, and we are going to add seats, and we're going to fit in as many people as we can.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. Now, before we let you go, let's reflect back again on the production of Xanadu Jr. Mm-hmm. It's opening January the 17th. So tell us about seating, getting tickets if they are available.
Mm-hmm. So we are opening in a week. Oh my gosh. January 17th. All of the evening shows are at 7 p.m. We open that Friday and run for 2 weekends. We have 2 Sundays, so 2 matinees. The second matinee is sold out, but there are still tickets available to the first matinee. And if you are interested in grabbing tickets, you can go to LuckyPennyNapa.com and be directed to buying tickets online if you would like to do that. You can also call the Lucky Penny box office line, which is listed there as well, the phone number there, and I will answer the phone and I will take care of you there as well. and you can also come to the door before each performance, the box office opens an hour before the show. So if it's a matinee, the box office will be open at 1. If it's an evening show, the box office will be open at 6, and purchase tickets that way as well.
Mm-hmm. Who did the set for that? Because they always seem to come up with a really neat set.
We do. And we actually have a brand new resident set designer, Brian Watson, who is unbelievably talented. I mean, the things that he makes are just beautiful. And so he's going to be designing the set through the rest of the season. And I obviously have been there every night and watching it grow and see what he's created has just been so much fun. It's beautiful.
Uh-huh. And what about the choreography? Is there much dancing in this?
Oh my gosh, yes. Our choreographer is Elise Guzik. She has been a friend to Lucky Penny for many, many years. She actually, she met Barry and Taylor during, I believe, Legally Blonde many, many years ago. And then she did the Trailer Park Musical, the original time around, which we are bringing back at the end of this season. She moved to New York. She met her husband, and then they decided to come back. So this is her. She was in Blythe Spirit with me last season, and this is her first her choreography debut at Lucky Penny, and she's doing a fantastic job.
Uh-huh. And some of the other individuals that make Xanadu Junior possible. Mm-hmm. Who else working behind the scenes?
Yeah, we've got our fantastic music director, Berkeley. He was in Miracle on 34th Street, and he has done a lot of work at Solano College, MDing there, and he's just he's a sweetheart and very, very talented. And then we have our costume designer, Barbara McFadden. She's costumed a ton of stuff at Lucky Penny. Our lighting designer, April George. We're going into tech this weekend, so that's going to be her purview. It's going to be, she's going to bring her magic in. Allison Sutherland is our prop designer, and we've got a lot of fun props. We've got a full Pegasus that's in this show, so we made that happen with some really cool stuff. Barry is going to be doing our sound design. And we've got Maddie and Miranda, who are backstage, as our stage manager and ASM, and they are instrumental in making this show happen.
And how many talented youngsters are in the production?
There are 22. Now, there's not 22 on the stage at all times, but there are several big dance numbers that have 22 kids on that stage.
Oh,
and
boy,
that is a lot of people on that stage, and Elise has made it look amazing.
Mm-hmm. So you're down to the final few sessions before the opening curtain.
Yes. So we did a really intense work through with character work last night and cleaning up of some dance numbers and music. And then this weekend we go into tech, which is, for those of you who aren't in the theater scene, that is the technical rehearsal when we add lighting and sound and costumes and music. And special effects if we have any. So it's a big, long weekend. We've got 2 8-hour days with the kids.
Oh boy.
Which should be long for kids. It's long for adults, so it's going to be long for kids. But it's a really cool weekend because then you start to see the whole package come together. And so we have this weekend, then we have Monday off because everyone needs a break after being at the theater 8 hours a day for 2 days. Then we have our dress rehearsal, and then a preview, a closed preview, and then our second closed preview, and then we open on next Friday.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is something that sounds really exciting. And in our studio audience, we have Lauren Mall. And Lauren, you know, that sounds like something that would be of interest to you and your family, too.
Well, I still enjoy coming to Lucky Penny Productions, though.
Yeah,
Taylor and Barry, the whole crew does a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a favorite that you've enjoyed from there?
So far, Forever Plaid.
Yeah. Oh, that was a great one.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
Is a very good one. Well, Heather Buck, we certainly appreciate your sharing this behind-the-scenes approach. And before we sign off, once again, where are tickets available not only for Xanadu Junior, but also for the Napa Academy of Performing Arts?
Right. So you are going to go to luckypennynapa.com, and there's everything there. There's the information about the Performing Arts Academy. There's ticket sales. There's ticket sales for not only Xanadu, but the rest of the season. And we are going to start selling season subscriber packages for our next season, season 12, on February 1st, right after the announcement. So that'll be available there too.
Yeah. Not asking you about the names of the things, but does next year's schedule look exciting?
Oh my gosh, yes. Taylor is so good at picking a cohesive, exciting, fresh new season every year. Every year when she goes, okay, I have the season, and she talks to me about it, I'm like, oh my God, how do you do this every single time? It's always fun. It's always exciting. There's always something for everyone.
Do you see something that you might try out for?
Of course.
All right. Well, Heather Buck, a really talented member of our community who does so much for Lucky Penny and is directing Xanadu Junior. Thank you for coming in and sharing with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
She had to leave her two little ones to get in here.
It was nice to have a break.
It would have been fun having them along to see how...
This is true. My baby is now almost a year old, and he has a lot to say. So he would have chimed in. I don't know if anyone would want to hear it, but he would have chimed in.
Okay. Well, stay tuned, because we've got a lot more coming up. We'll be hearing from the Parks and Recreation Services next. Okay, welcome back in now to today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa edition, as we're going to make a transition now from the Lucky Penny segment to the park segment. And boy, it's always amazing when we have the opportunity to talk with John Coates, and it's hard to imagine the number of parks that we do have in Napa. But we're going to find out not only about the parks, but the services and about this Napa Lighting Festival, the arts festival that's coming up. So a lot to talk about. So let's first of all say... hi there to John Coates. We get settled around here, the transition from Heather now over to John. How you doing?
I'm very well, Ira. Thank you for having me today.
Okay, let's see. We got to get you mic'd up there. Okay. Now, let's find out a little bit about who you brought with you today.
So I'm really pleased to bring with me today Meredith Navard. She's our public arts coordinator, and she's going to be talking a lot about the Lighted Art Festival and all that everyone can expect over the next 9 days.
Well, that's practically here now, so we'll look forward to finding out about that event and when it's taking place and where it's taking place. And John, before we get into that, though, tell us again about the number of parks that we do have in the Napa area that falls under your directorship.
Sure. We have 55 parks and plaza throughout the city of Napa. They comprise almost 900 acres of parkland, and they're quite diverse, everything from civic plazas to large community parks with sports facilities, as well as open space parks with lots of trails and natural features.
Right. You're going to have the farmer's market, I understand, there at Fuller Park, too.
So excited about that. The entire month of May and the first Tuesday in June, every Tuesday, we'll be hosting the farmer's market.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. So it seems like there's always something going on at these parks. And the last time we talked, you were getting a full-time ranger to work with you.
We are. In fact, we're just getting ready to launch the recruitment for that within the next month.
Oh, okay. Do you have any ideas yet? Have you had applications yet, or is that still to come?
Yeah, we're just getting ready to begin the application process. But we have 5 part-time rangers right now who are doing a fabulous job, and they've done so much work with as far as educating the public on not only the natural features in our parks, but also how to make sure that you're making the most of your experience and not taking away from others' experience while they're in the park.
Okay, now what is the official title of your guest that relates to the Lighted Art Festival?
So it's Meredith Navard, and she is our public art coordinator.
Okay, well, Meredith, thank you for coming in. We say hi to you.
Thank you. I'm really pleased to be here today.
All right. Well, let's find out a little bit about your background. How long have you been part of the Parks and Recreation Services?
Of course. I've been here for about 8 months. One of my first projects I took on was the Napa Art Walk, and I'm really excited to be working with the team this year for the Napa Lighted Arts Festival.
Okay, well, let's find out a little bit about your background. You came into Napa from where?
Sonoma. I currently live in Sonoma.
All that way?
Yeah, not too far.
Had you heard about the Lighted Art Festival when you were in Sonoma?
I have, actually. I'm one of those that actually travel for art myself, so I've been to many art festivals around the U.S. And the world, so I was really excited to be part of this project, being an artist myself and one that is part of art tourism.
How new is this concept? The lighted art.
It's actually pretty new in the U.S. It began in France, actually, I believe, in the 1950s, but don't quote me, through theater. And so right now it's pretty popular in Europe, but some cities are now just taking it up in the U.S., so it's great that Napa is one of the leading ways for these types of festivals.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be taking place exactly where?
Downtown Napa in the Oxbow District. It's a walkable festival for families as well. It takes place from starting tomorrow, January 11th, through the 19th. And it's a night festival, being lights, from 6 till 9 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 6 till 10 p.m. On the weekends.
And what do we find if we come downtown to observe?
You're going to be in for a great surprise. It's going to be amazing. We have 13 sites, 11 art installations. 8 of those are international artists. 4 of them are U.S. artists. 2 of those 4 are Napa-based artists. So the highlight of this is projection mapping is big. So those will be projections on a lot of the historic buildings in downtown Napa. We also have a few sculptures. We'll have the angels at the CIA Copia. And they're also doing a whole array of activities along with heavenly activities with the angels. Mm-hmm. And there'll be sculptures downtown on 5th Street in Maine as well. So you can go to donapa.com/lights, and you can see all of the different artists that we'll be offering.
How many different sites are going to be involved?
13.
Wow. And very interesting locations. But are these all within walking distance of each other?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. You can start down by Oxbow and the CIA, and you can end up down at Napa Square.
Will the artists be involved as far as other than just showing their work?
Yes, that's actually a great question. We have artist meet and greets. So this is an excellent opportunity to meet the artists one-on-one. And the artists are also here visiting for the majority of the time. So such as OGE Group from Israel, which is at CIA Copia. And Ross and Karen, who are doing First Presbyterian Church, who are also our consultants for the project, they'll be here the full time.
So the artist basically could be at their location during the whole time of the life.
Correct. I'd encourage everyone to go to eventbrite.com and type in Napa Light. That's where you could see all of the artist meet and greets. So you can have a chance to meet with them one-on-one and discuss their work.
Well, Napa certainly has a rich history, and from what I understand, you can find out more about this by taking one of your historic building tours.
Correct, yes.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, so they'll be touring all of the historic buildings that are involved in this festival. And you can go on, again, to donapa.com lights, and that's where you can sign up. There is a cost to those, a small fee, but it's really worth it, especially if you're traveling into Napa or a local Napa residence. It's a chance to really reconnect with our community.
About how long would the tour last?
I believe it's about 40 minutes.
Minutes to an hour in that vicinity, probably. You know, there's so many things to talk about, and certainly Meredith is telling us about the aspect that is up and coming, that gets underway on the 11th of January and goes for, what, 2 weeks?
9 days until the 19th.
Okay. But the Parks and Recreation Services covers so many areas. And, John, let's just look at some of those other areas, particularly those that are coming upon us here the first of the year.
So we're really excited to offer a bundle of new programs and new locations this year. We offer several hundred programs each quarter. Some of the changes that you're going to see this year are with our summer camps, and they'll be running from the middle of June through the end of July. We're moving our Camp Napa from Redwood Middle School over to Harvest Middle School. And we're also going to be utilizing their pool this summer for learn to swim programs and family programs. So we will not be using the Redwood Middle School pool, but we'll continue to use the Napa High pool as well. And of course, our Great Outdoors camp over at Skyline Park is always a hit. And I'd encourage anyone interested in signing up to try to do that as soon as they can, because it does sell out every year. We're also looking for new lifeguards to help us run our pools this year. So we're going to be offering a Red Cross certified lifeguard training program from April 7th through the 10th at the Napa Valley College. And again, I'd encourage anyone that wants to get certified as a lifeguard, age 15 and up, to go through that program, and then you're eligible to come to work for us.
Well, sounds good.
We're also looking for camp leaders, and during that same period, we'll be recruiting, probably early April, we'll be recruiting for folks to help us lead our camps.
Okay. Now, you talk about some of the sports. Let me ask you, if this is the year for the Kiwanis Field down there to have the lighting replacement.
We've just finished that project, and it is amazing. I really encourage people to see that in action this year at night. We've just installed some state-of-the-art LED lighting. And what's really powerful about that is the spill factor, which means the light that gets thrown off of the lights beyond the field, which could irritate neighbors, et cetera. That's so minimal now that there really is no spill. The lights are aimed right on the field. They're really bright, and they're very efficient. Those bulbs can last up to 40 years. They're so efficient. Mm-hmm. And we're really excited because we're trying to expand as many programs as we can over there. Of course, girls fast pitch softball will still be back this year. But we're also offering our Junior Giants program there this year. It will be technically begins the middle of June, and it's for kids age 5 to 13. It offers softball and baseball, and it's a free program. And it'll have some great mentorships. We might even see a few of the San Francisco Giants show up at from time to time. And we'll be having that at Kiwanis Park as well as at Kennedy Park.
Wow. Are there other trips that will be happening during the wintertime? I know it's easier to have a trip in the summertime when the weather is more comfortable. But what about January, February, and then the wintertime? Do we have trips that will be opening up?
So we do have a few that we run out of our senior center, and you've stumped me to give you some specifics.
Well, you can tell us about the senior center, too, because you've had a lot of developments there.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so proud of what's happened at the senior center. It's really a case study in bringing all the stakeholders together to make something happen that none of us could have done by ourselves. We just completed a $2.5 million renovation to the interior of that building. It had been over 40 years since any refresh had occurred. And what's most exciting to me is the fact that when we went through the renovation, we were able to increase our ability to add new and different programs to try to reach a broader group of seniors. For example, our large annex building now has an athletic floor in it, so we can offer a variety of aerobics types classes that it really wasn't conducive for in the past. We've got an amazing social hall with a fireplace. We've got a commercial kitchen now that can offer catered events. That's just state-of-the-art.
Mm-hmm. How many can you accommodate for something like that?
Probably 150 people in the dining hall, the dining area. And another thing, as far as, you know, since this department has taken on and embraced the public art program over the last 2 years, Meredith has been working with a variety of artists to bring in a public art component, not only a permanent feature on the property, but also a revolving display of art within the building. And you might want to talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, update us on that.
Great, yes, thanks, John. We've opened up a rotating call for artists in the Maple Room at the Senior Center. So this is a really great chance for local Napa residents to get their art shown. Currently, we also have in the hallway the Napa Photography Society has been changing out their work. And that gallery in the hallway is going to be a rotating community gallery, so all ages can show there. We also opened up a call for sculpture. And we're finalizing our artists that will be showcasing that work outside. So the new Senior Center is just such a beautiful property, and I'd really encourage people to get down and check it out. And it's going to house some really wonderful art.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a lot more than just the Napa Lighted Art Festival. You've got a lot of different hats to put on.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. The city of Napa is great in promoting the arts and the local arts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is something that we should be proud of here. We have some outstanding artists. I'm particularly fond of Beverly Wilson's work with her pastels and all, but we have so many different ones.
Great, yes.
Well, let's go back to John Coates now, as he was telling us about some aspects of the programs that they have.
Sure. I did recall one of the winter trips that you asked about, Ira. We're happy that we have partnered with Premier Travel, and we're offering a Cuba Discovery trip this year. And it's going to the capital city of Havana. It's going to be February 24 through 29. And anyone interested, you can go to our website and find out more information about it, or you could call directly over to the Senior Center.
What's involved in that?
So it'll be a guided trip that includes all of your accommodations and I think a good portion of your meals. Hmm. And they'll be touring not only the countryside, but a lot of historic sites within and around Havana.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Is there, what type of cost are we looking at or something like that?
So that's $36.99 per person, and that is a 5-day trip.
Wow. But that is inclusive, as you say, with all those things that are part of it. You know, there are so many aspects of parks and recreation services that people don't realize that you're involved with. We could go on and talk about some of the sports that you have. We mentioned softball and all, but you also have some golf programs.
We have a phenomenal partnership with the Napa Golf Course. They have a PGA Pro that offers not only leagues but learn to golf programs. They offer some amazing packages that make it really easy and affordable to get out to the golf course, particularly in the afternoons. Really fantastic course. We have a lease agreement with Corsco, who manages golf courses all over the country, and they have just done an amazing job with caring for that course and enhancing it. They just renovated their restaurant, their pub, and it's turned into a tap room. Actually, I go over there occasionally for lunch. I don't get to enjoy anything off the tap, but they have a great lineup of food that's really delicious. They're also offering a lot of specials there. They've just become a really good partner. Every year when we have our Arbor Day event, we plant trees. They show up with a team of people to help us do that, and it's just really, really strong.
Is that part of your urban forestry program?
It is. It is. In order to retain our Tree City USA designation through the Napa Arbor Day, through the United States Arbor Day Foundation, we have to have an event. We have to spend a per capita amount of money on trees every year, and we exceed that by like 10 times the amount. We have to have an ordinance that ensures proper caring for our tree, for all of our trees. And so every year we have a big celebration. We tie into National Public Lands Day, and we bring the community together. And over the past couple of years, we've had upwards of 100 volunteers come help us do park improvement projects as well as plant trees.
Yeah, you've had some of that at Alston Park, but do you have a tree program planned out there?
We do. We've got a couple of really cool programs. One is with the Resource Conservation District. They have an acorns to Oaks program. And so a few times a year, we go out and we not only plant acorns in the uplands of the park, but we also care for the seedlings to make sure that they have plenty of room to grow. And so that one has been really powerful. In fact, this year, this coming April, we are moving our Arbor Day program from Kennedy Park, where we've had it the last 3 years. We're going to be having it out at Alston Park this year to try to get a lot more native oaks established in the lower portion of the park.
We're talking with John Coates, who is Director of Parks and Recreation Services here in Napa. And they have once again come out with a really nice recreation guide. And John, I wanted to ask you about one of the pictures in there. It showed a shirtless bell. And it was interesting as far as referred to as a hidden gem from our parks and spaces. Is there a story behind this shirtless bell?
So, you know, Shirtless Park is right next to an elementary school.
Right.
And it's my understanding that that bell was associated with the original school there. And somehow we've been able to preserve it, and it dates all the way back to 1892.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So it's been around for a while. Yes. They used to really use that, too, as far as to call classes to order or
right.
let people know.
Right.
So that bell is part of the park system. Yeah. Well, we look at other things that are happening, and there are always so many things depending upon the season. You told us a bit about changes there at the senior center, but your facilities are also available for the public to rent, at least some of the facilities.
Absolutely. Our senior center is available, of course, for parties and small gatherings, or larger gatherings for that matter. The Pelosi Center out at Kennedy Park is also a really good social space that will accommodate really large gatherings, whether it's a wedding reception or a quinceañera or, just a birthday celebration. And, of course, our Las Flores Community Center is also another wonderful gathering space for folks to come together.
Mm-hmm. Do you tie in at all with the golf course? Is that any part of your work?
So, well, we actually own the golf course, and we have a lease agreement with Course Co., but we have a really, really strong partnership with them, and we work together to try to ensure that facility is maximized as a community asset. One of the things that's really helped us turn the corner financially with that property is the addition of the wedding pavilion that they built there. And it's allowed them to really elevate the food and beverage experience. They book weddings there literally just about every weekend. And it's become another great social gathering space at a very affordable way for the community to come together.
There are so many amenities that the Napa community could avail themselves with. And do you have any favorites yourself?
Well, Fuller Park is one of my favorites just because of the rich history there. It's a living arboretum. We've partnered with the Master Gardeners to create a self-guided walk. There are 43 trees that are identified. If you have a QR reader on your phone, you can actually go to the tree identification plaque, and it'll take you to the Master Gardener's website, and it'll tell you more about the historical and the botanical history of that particular tree. There are trees that are there from all over the world, and they've been there since 1905, some of them. And it was originally established for people to understand what other type of vegetation grows around the planet that's not native to Napa. So, you know, you'll see a bunya tree from Australia all the way to giant sequoias, which you don't normally see native to this part of California.
Yeah, there's so many interesting aspects of that. Plus, the farmers market's going to be there too.
We're so excited about that. We, as many of the listeners know, the farmers market is moving in April to the fairgrounds.
They're actually moving February the 8th.
Is it? I'm sorry. They stepped it up.
Moved it up to February the 8th. Yeah,
that's fantastic. Which I think really ties into the mission of the fairgrounds with all the agricultural exposure that they offer there. However, they've got some logistical challenges with Bottle Rock,
right.
So we've partnered with them to move the farmers market to Fuller Park on Tuesdays during May and the first one in June. But also during that period, the Saturday market will move over to the old Cinedome lot, actually where Parks and Rec headquarters used to be. And they'll be offering it in that parking lot. So I think it's a great partnership with the community, with the farmers market, and with the city to really promote something that's vital for everybody and to move it closer to the downtown. So we're really excited about that.
And people should take the opportunity to register for some of these classes and the events that you've been talking about. And you can find that in the Napa Recreation Guide. You guys do a good job with this publication and the distribution. But in case someone does not have a copy, where are they still available?
So you can pick them up at City Hall. You can pick them up at our office. And we do direct mail them to every single household in Napa.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about your office, where they can locate that.
Sure. We're located at 1850 Soskal Avenue, right above the Social Security office.
Mm-hmm. Right. That used to be racquetball place, didn't it?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, La Concha.
La Concha. I understand they even had a swimming pool out front.
I don't remember. But I remember the racquetball there at La Concha and when that started. And it was pretty popular for quite a while. Other special amenities that we have here in Napa?
Sure. A couple things I'd like to talk about. Back to Kennedy Park. This past year, during Arbor Day, we had a volunteer project replace the gazebo at our formal garden, which is just before you get to the golf course on the left. And that's another really popular spot for small events such as weddings. People get engaged there. They have birthday parties. There's a really nice picnic area there, but we've got a brand new Amish gazebo that really shines like a star. We're really proud of that. There's some other projects that we have in the works that folks should see within the next year. Over at Alston Park, we're going to be adding a permanent restroom building.
Yeah, and when is that going to happen?
So probably later in the summer is our plans. We're finalizing all the design plans right now. So we're really excited about that. It's going to require quite a bit of work to tap into the sewer. That took us a couple of years legislatively to make that happen. But that project's also going to have some small shade structures. We're going to improve the flow of the pedestrian flow between the parking lot, the restroom, and the canine commons, the enclosed dog runs.
That's all right there in the same area.
Yeah, right up front. So it's really going to make a statement as far as a reinvestment into Alston Park. And then right across the street at Dry Creek Park, we're putting a large shade structure at the picnic area. So we're and doing some landscape improvements there. We're really excited about that. And then back to Fuller Park, we're going to be putting a gazebo, which will serve as a shade structure for picnic areas, but also for small performances. Where we've had a very successful concert series at Fuller Park this past year, and we'll be bringing that back this year, beginning in June.
Well, it looks like we're going to have you back in June.
Absolutely. I'll even have the lineup then. Right now, I'm not sure who's going to be there, but we're going to have a whole host of different types of music, everything from steel drums to steel guitars.
Well, we like to count on you to come in a couple times a year to tell us about, first of all, the Napa Lighted Art Festival that's happening starting January the 11th, and then what's happening during the summertime when the programs really flourish. And before we conclude, though, let's go back to Meredith and have her tell us about the times again for the downtown and the Oxbow District on the Napa Lighted Art Festival.
Yes. So it starts this weekend, tomorrow, at 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock on the weekend. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 6 to 10, and Monday through Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. We also have Night Bloom, which will be 7 to 8 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. And the Lantern Parade on January 17th that starts at 6:30 in Veterans Park.
Wow. Well, it was nice having you come in and join
that.
Thank you.
Really nice to be here.
Yeah, well, thanks for journeying over and getting associated now with Napa after having been in nearby Sonoma. And, John, always a pleasure to see you. Thank you for your update.
Well, thanks so much for having us, Ira. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Okay, you've been listening to Today in the Napa Valley. This is your Chamber of Commerce Napa edition. I'm Ira C. Smith, inviting you to stay right there. A lot more coming your way on KVON.